back to New Hampshire Perspective with your host, Jeff Chittister.
And welcome back to New Hampshire Perspective. As always, thanks for taking time out of your day. Don't forget, check us out online, jeffchittister.com, 96.7thewave.com, and WGIRAM.com. And with all the fake manufacturing conversations going on around sequester, what is getting lost out there are real problems and serious topics that we should be discussing as well. And one of those topics is that we found out that the Chinese military continues its attack in many different ways upon not only American interests, but also our allies around the world. And so what I thought we'd do is talk to somebody who's an expert in this. Of course, Dean Chang, he's a research fellow over at Asian Studies Center over at Heritage. Dean brings detailed knowledge to China's military and space capabilities to bear at the Heritage Foundation, research fellow on Chinese political and security affairs. Dean, how are you? Fine, sir.
All right. How are you?
Perfect. Thank you very much. So, you know what's getting lost, and I go to your reports all the time, and you and I have chatted before in the past. Because of sequestration, some very serious topics have been lost that should have come to the forefront in the news. And, of course, you've done a wonderful report. We're going to make sure we post it up online. Chinese cyber attacks, robust response is needed. Let's talk a little bit about how we came. You've known all along, and, of course, many of the people that you work with, you've worked with congressional people, Senate leaders, and business leaders around the country about this threat. Talk us through a little bit about how we came to realize that this has become an even more concerning topic over the past few months.
Well, we've known for a long time that the Chinese are interested in the use of cyber for gathering information.
Right.
And in fact, China is probably the single most prolific hacking country out there. If you think about it, with 1.3 billion people, you got a lot of people to draw upon as potential hackers. One of the things that is striking is how broad the Chinese are in their hacking efforts. Everybody, if they can, would like to do intelligence gathering, information gathering.
Right.
But China is doing it in such a way that we are talking about hundreds of billions of dollars. The scale is simply different between what China does and what other countries do. And Mondiant Corporation, to their credit, has been looking at them for almost 7 years, and more importantly, has really dug into it to try and figure out not just the IP addresses, because that's the easy part. We've always known that there's been a lot of hacking coming out of China.
Right.
But what they did was they identified individuals and organizations, and that's also the part that's incredibly disturbing.
Well, and there's certainly a huge computer security firm that is out there as well. So as they go through this process, Dean, and they start gathering this information, of course, right before the sequestration talk really exploded, we started to hear about this on some of the other news outlets. And one of the things that comes out to kind of understand where they are is the first thing is, you can't distinguish between China's approach to this to be purely civilian and military. They really look at this as really, and not even peacetime and war either. It's convoluted in the way that they look at how they need to gather information, isn't it?
Yes. The Chinese have a very holistic view.
Yes.
Which is to say, it's information. And you can tag it military, you can tag it civilian, you can tag this as peacetime, you can tag it as wartime. But at the end of the day, it's all information. And information is important for what you can do with it, not when you got it or necessarily even where you got it from. And so the Chinese have been gathering military information. They've been gathering civilian governmental information, both of which fall into what we normally think of as intelligence gathering. But they've also, and this is one of the really disturbing aspects, they are using government resources, specifically military hacking capabilities,
right,
to help their companies. So that really is putting not just a thumb on the scale, but an entire fist.
Well, and that's incredible. Once again, we're talking to Dean Chang. We'll make sure we post his information up online. He's a research fellow, Asian Studies Center over at Heritage. Let's talk about, there's this entity, and I have read your work in the past where you have mentioned this entity before. There's this group within the Chinese government or Chinese military called the PLA. Now, what is the PLA?
The PLA is the People's Liberation Army. That is the Chinese Uniformed Armed Forces.
Right.
The PLA is not like our military in several important ways. First and foremost, it is the armed wing of the Chinese Communist Party. And what that means is when an American military officer swears an oath, he swears to uphold and defend the Constitution.
Right.
Not the president, not a party. The Chinese military officer swears loyalty first and foremost to the Chinese Communist Party. So if you think back to Tiananmen,
right,
where the army shot down civilians, the army was doing its job in the Chinese context, defending the party. Another important difference is that the PLA, it has services, but it is mainly organized not on a service system, but what they call general departments.
Right.
And the general departments span the services. They do, the general staff department does war planning for all the services.
And you talk about those four services, and we're going to make sure that we link your article up online. We've linked you over before as far as people visiting you every once in a while. Now, when we getting away from those four services, we'll let people do a little bit more homework. When we talk about where we are right now, it's unfortunate, isn't it, Dean, that people don't realize how serious a threat China has been and is quickly becoming. We owe so much money to them. Their military is growing every single day. Their technology is vastly hard for us to maintain and control and fight back. And now they're moving into really a stage where they can control every piece of information related to not only our military and our government, but now the civilian technology. Where do we go from here? I mean, when I just painted a very bad, catastrophic picture. Where do we go from here, though?
Well, the good news is that while you have painted perhaps the most pessimistic view, and it's what we need to be worried about,
right?
We do, you know, we're not completely in their pocket, and we are not completely at their mercy.
Right.
But the first and foremost thing is we need to respond.
Right.
And it's really disturbing to read some of the news reports this week, the stories that aren't focused on sequestration, and you find out that the president and his advisors deliberately have chosen not to, quote, they did not want to embarrass the Chinese.
Yes.
Over these actions.
That's important.
And, you know, if you're not going to embarrass the Chinese and you're not going to punish the Chinese, I really have trouble blaming the Chinese for misbehaving when, you know, we find out they're misbehaving, and the authorities, the people who are supposed to be the adults in the room, say, oh, no, 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 we don't want to embarrass them. What do you think the Chinese learn as a lesson from this? They're being given a carte blanche by us.
Well, absolutely. I mean, and the thing is that what is, when you talk about a response, too, one of the things is that our lack of response is not only hurting us, but also hurting our allies as well, correct?
Absolutely. The Chinese are not simply going through our computers and our files. The Germans just recently lodged a complaint. One of the biggest breaks into computer security over the last decade or two was something called GhostNet, where the Chinese were apparently rifling through the Indian government's diplomatic files and trying to hack into the Dalai Lama's personal email accounts. So this is something the Chinese are doing around the world, again, because information from their view is holistic. So what can we do about this? First off, we should be pulling together our allies,
right?
The countries that we have stood shoulder to shoulder with in the past, and rather than dissing them, like sending Winston Churchill's bust back to Britain, saying, look, let's face the Chinese together. We should be having more cooperation between our own government and the private sector.
Right.
And, you know, remember, Mondrian was a private company. What it did probably scares the Chinese a great deal, because at the end of the day, there's a lot of companies out there who might be able to do something, whether it's tracking the Chinese down or coming up with solutions far more flexibly than the government can.
Well, absolutely. I mean, that government-private cooperation is paramount to mounting the right kind of response, isn't it?
Exactly. Because the private sector, you know, something Washington unfortunately forgets a lot of the time, including now, is it's the private sector that's flexible. It's
right.
The private sector that's far more productive. You know, who would you rather have doing your computers. You know, somebody from the private sector, or some, you know, hi, I'm a government bureaucrat. I'm here to fix your computer. I'll get to it 3 months from now.
Right. I mean, that makes absolute sense for someone who has a software background. It does make sense. Now, the other thing you talk about is going beyond the usual diplomatic responses. What do you mean by that?
You know, this administration has done so little that, you know, but the only thing they're likely to do is to wag a finger and send John Kerry to Beijing to say, naughty, naughty. One of the things to think about here is this, you know, the Chinese military is giving this information to private companies.
Right.
In a sense, that's trafficking in stolen goods.
Exactly.
Perhaps one of the things to do as a society based on the rule of law is to say, look, we're not going to go and take a sledgehammer to you, okay? But we've identified these things that this company is using that came from us. And so we're going to sue you. We're going to, you know, put liens on your American accounts. We're going to, you know, not allow you to invest in the U.S., or maybe we're going to freeze those assets. The point here is, you know, if the administration is terrified, oh my gosh, we need China to cooperate on climate change. We can't possibly, you know, punish the Chinese government. All right, then let's go to the people who are benefiting. Who benefits are the people who should be punished.
Well, I mean, absolutely. Once again, we're talking to Dean Chang. We're going to make sure we post his information up online. You can find him over at Heritage. This article is absolutely mandatory for everyone to read. It's called Chinese Cyber Attacks, Robust Response Needed. The reason why, you know, I'm actually kind of glad, Dean, that we're not talking about sequestration. I'm exhausted over the past few weeks of having to have to talk about this. But last but not least, I mean, this is beyond the point of dangerous for us now. And at this point, if our leaders down in Washington, D.C. don't take a serious look as to what China is actually doing and what they're capable of, we could find ourselves very quickly at their mercy in many other different ways. I mean, technology and controlling technology is really the key of the next war, isn't it?
You know, Senator Feinstein has come out and said the Mondeant report is pretty much the truth. And she's on the Senate Intelligence Committee. And
right.
She has said, you know, what this report says is not exaggeration, is not, you know, wild and woolly out there thinking. And when you think about how in World War II, people sometimes don't realize this, we were reading the German codes.
Yes.
We were reading the Japanese codes. We knew what they were going to do long before they actually did it. And that was a key part of the success of D-Day and the success of the war against Japan.
Oh, absolutely.
Right now, we face the very, very real possibility of being the Germans or the Japanese.
I mean, you know, Dan, once again, you know, you do bring some insight in that is clearly lacking on this. We want to make sure everyone reads that report. So go up on JeffChittister.com. JeffChittister.com will link over to the Heritage page. Dean, that's all we have time for. I know, you know, it seems like we only talk like every other 6 months. Let's hope that we keep on this topic. We are certainly going to talk to our senators about focusing on this as well. But as always, you do wonderful work, and we hope the next time we talk to you, we have a better story to tell.
Here's hoping.
Okay, very good. And that was Dean Chang. We'll make sure we post this information up online, and we will be right back on New Hampshire Perspective.